We're going to get Brother Luke here to sing for us this morning. I thank the Lord for it. Brother Luke, appreciate his zeal there, wanting to do something for the Lord. At his age, I wasn't doing that. Probably at your age, you wouldn't. And I commend him highly, because I'll tell you what, the Bible said in the book of Ecclesiastes, matter of fact, we're going to be preaching out of Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, but in Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, it says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. That's what he's doing. He's young. He's remembering the Lord. We're going to be preaching out of Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. If you got a King James Bible, well, you can get that thing out. And before I preach, has anybody not got anything on your heart? I think I got wind that someone wanted to give a testimony, and I'll give an opportunity to end or beginning or something. But if anybody got anything on your heart, we'll give you an opportunity to give that. But if not, well, amen. Praise the Lord. You come right on.
I'm
going to
sing a song, but before I do, the song I'm going to sing is thanking the Lord.
Yes.
You know, we've been holding out for my son for so long.
Bless you.
And you know, just to know that he wasn't just saved,
yes,
but gloriously saved.
Yeah.
You know, I just thank the Lord for that.
Praise
you know,
Lord.
And I thank the Lord that he kept thanking me. You know, they kept telling me for years, don't you talk about hell with this child. He's gonna scare him and everything else. And the first words he said was, thank you, Mommy. He said, I could see flames all around.
Yeah.
He said, I knew that I needed the Lord. And he said,
the Lord,
told
beginning the wisdom.
And he said, I was gonna ask the Lord to remove those flames. And he said, I know that I couldn't. He said, because the Lord knows. And he said, I know that I have to get repentance. The only prayer that the Lord will hear
right.
is a repentant prayer.
That's right.
And he said, the flames was all around me. And he said, I thank you for reminding me that there was a hell. I thank you for telling me that the fire was hot.
I feel the Lord being the part of evil.
He said, I called my girlfriend and I called a preacher. And he said, I got him over there. And he said, there I was in the middle of that nasty apartment. He said, I got down on my knees. And he said, there was tears and snot and slobbers flying. And he said, that carpet had a puddle when I was done.
Lord.
I didn't care. He said, I was not getting up until I was prayed through.
Amen.
He said, he prayed for the
Spirit.
Lord,
I got
him. And he said, I wasn't getting up until I filled the Spirit. He said, I want it all.
Thank you, Lord.
And you know, he just can't stop. He
Amen.
Testifying to everybody. And then
Hallelujah.
He went to the doctor. He said, I've done so much to my body. He said, I'm going to the doctor. We went to the doctor. And then the next day, he called me back up. He said, we got to go again. He said, I've got to do what I need to do. And I didn't understand. And so I got him up there, and he come out, and they put him on a weight program. He's lost a lot of weight. He's been, you know, he's been anorexic. He's been bulimic. He's been a lot of things where he's just miserable. He's been so miserable.
Yeah.
And they put him on a weight gain program, and he said, Mama, my body's a temple now.
Amen.
The Lord, and he said, I've got to make it what it's supposed to be.
Glory to God.
He said, I'm going to just keep striving. And he said, because the Lord's going to use me, I've got to get healthy. I've got to get, you know, and I just praise the Lord, and, you know, everything. He called me again this morning.
Woo!
And can't stop. He's just so bubbling.
Hallelujah.
I told him, I said, when you hit the ground, I said, you'll finally come down. And I said, but when you do, the Lord's going to be there. He'll be right there to help you.
Amen.
You ought to thank the Lord for that. And that's what this song is. And I know all y'all know it. If you know it, you can sing it with me.
You singing,
but I got to thank the Lord because He's the one, you know, it wasn't me that saved him. It wasn't the preachers and all the prayers and all the
salvation of the Lord.
It was the Lord. But I know, I thank God for all the people, you know, Margaret and Melvin and them for teaching him in Sunday school and all the people who prayed for him and talked to him. And, you know, I just thank everybody for all their prayers and the agonizing. It's been worth all the times I've been on my knees and the calluses that they've got. I just thank the Lord for it.
Amen.
As the world looks upon me as I struggle along, they say I have nothing, but that you're so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. I've a roof up above me and a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet.
Glory to God.
You gave
me
your love,
Lord,
and a fine family.
Have them blessed.
Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Woo!
Well, I know I'm not well.
It's all right.
In these clothes.
Poor needy, if the Lord think it's on me.
I don't have much money.
Woo!
But Lord, I have you.
Glory to God.
And to me, that's all that matters.
All the world can I see, then I thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. When the last time you done that? Oh, I'll tell you what, the Bible said he inhabits the praise of his people. And the Bible said, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And the Bible said, let everything that hath breath give praise unto the Lord. I don't know what we're waiting on. Now, thank you, Sister Anita, for the testimony, for the song. Hallelujah. Listen, Nathaniel got saved. You know, old Jonah got out of that belly of that whale. And you know how it is when you first get saved, you don't know what to say. Jonah got out of that belly of that whale, and he said, salvation's of the Lord. And I tell you what, buddy, Job said, I saved by the skin of my teeth. Peter started sinking in the ocean, and Peter said, Lord, save me. Wasn't too much boy to get in there, says Calvin. The Bible said immediately he stretched forth his hand, pulled him up. I'm glad you don't have to say no whole lot to get saved. How many of those two men went in the temple one said, I'm glad I ain't like him. The other said, just be merciful to me, sinner. Jesus said, I'll hear that prayer and throw the other out. He ain't worthy. Tell you what, one man went to his house justified and the other didn't. All right, praise the good Lord for the testimony. Listen, I may preach a little while. I don't know. May preach short. May preach long. We ain't going nowhere anywhere. We got a meal back there in the back. It'd just be that much better. But Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. And also we'll be preaching out of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2, which is our text verse. But Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, we'll read 8 verses here. And it says, to everything there is a season. Now we're in the winter. I know it don't look like it. The trees are budding. The grass is growing. I'll have to mow the yard if something don't happen soon. But to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose. Boy, it's a good spirit up here. Oh, man, y'all better hold on here. Woo! There is a time to every purpose under heaven. Glory to God. Time to be born. Time to die. Time to plant. Time to pluck up that which is planted. Time to kill. Time to heal. Time to break down. Time to build up. Time to weep. Time to laugh. Time to mourn and a time to dance. Time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. I think my wife may have got that verse there down pat. We haven't embraced in so long. I'm sure she's still my wife, but we don't have much embracing. But anyway, time to get, time to lose, time to keep, time to cast away, time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. We want to read one more verse in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. We want to do our best to preach to you what God put upon our heart the last Sunday. And I do believe He determined He wanted this Sunday just by the Sunday school lesson that we had this morning. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2, says, "For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." I want to preach this morning, if God would be my helper, on it's time to get saved. Amen. Father God, we love You. Lord, we pray, Lord, dear God, You take this unworthy preacher. Lord, do what cannot be done apart from You. Bring this message, Lord, till it resonates in our heart. Till, Lord, no matter how deaf our ears are, we're able to hear the message that You've given today. Lord, I pray You to wake us out of sleep. We might redeem the time. I pray You'd open our eyes with eyes saved. Lord, I pray, Lord, we'd be stirred to the thought of the hour which we're living in. Lord, everything's pointing to the time that we're at. That it's time to get saved. I think some have ignored the signs. I think some, Lord, are dragging their feet. And I pray, dear Father, today there'll be some that'll rise to their feet. For such a time as this, as Esther said, that Mordecai said to Esther, "For all we know, for such a time as this, You've come into to be the queen." And I pray, Father, Lord, the urgency of the hour will be of God and not of man. And I pray, Lord, there'll be some, like Nathaniel said, that couldn't wait, had to have a resolve to his soul. He couldn't wait. He couldn't let up. He had to pray through, had to get saved. The flames had finally got his attention. And I pray, dear Father, today there'd be some today that would feel the flames licking their feet and the hell waiting to devour. And I pray the fear of God fall upon this place. And Lord, I pray You'd visit our souls today like You visited, Lord, Jerusalem and wept over it. Visit us today. Well, thank You and praise You in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. Amen. Well, Solomon mentioned about a lot of times there. But Paul mentioned about a time. And in this verse, he said, "I have heard thee." There would be about 4 or 5 question marks right there. If God hadn't heard thee, I don't know what kind of excuse you're going to give Him. But He said, "I have heard thee in a time accepted." Let me say this, that God's waiting on you if you're lost. And it is the accepted time. And He said, "In the day of salvation, I have secured thee," which means He will save you today if you'll call upon Him, if you'll come to Him. He will secure you. He will save you. And He said, "Behold, now is the accepted time, and there's no better time to get saved than the time that we're in right now." And let me say, He said, "Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now my day was April the 27th, 1988, when this poor sinner named Eddie Wade, I'm telling you, but I was not a citizen of heaven. I was not even a candidate worthy of salvation. But I'm glad that he was long suffering towards me. I'm glad, praise God, he compelled me and he drew me with cords of love and he drew me to him. Now, I fought it tooth and nail. I'm telling you right now, it was more his doings than it was mine. But I'm glad he corralled me. I'm glad he called me. I'm glad, praise God, he convinced me that I need to get saved. And April 27th, 1988, at 9000 Evanston Road, old Brother Eddie became one of the men of God, one of the family of God. I got grafted in, got adopted in the family of God. He's my father now. I'm his son now. Thanks to Calvary, the blood of Jesus, that cleanses from all sin. I'm telling you, glory to God, a name got wrote down in the book of life, and the name, amen, was anyway got saved.
Amen.
It didn't make the evening news, Sister Carolyn. It wasn't on the front page of the Daily Times. But I had a godly grandfather that begged me at the age of 18 in my backyard when I was standing there in my filth making, with my shirt off, brown ball of tassel ribbon in my hand. I seen my grandfather coming. I was kind of like that little girl me and Brother Melvin seen out there beside the house smoking a cigarette one day on visitation. I was out of the car and she put that cigarette behind her back. And this smoke coming up behind her neck, that's about the way I was. There wasn't really no place to put it, Rick. Here my godly grandfather come up there to me in my backyard. His glasses was at least a half inch thick. I wish I could get his glasses and bring them in here. My grandfather, my mother told him that if he ate carrots, that his eyes would get better. She woke up one morning about 3 o'clock in the morning, walked in there to the kitchen to get a drink of water. Her dad and my grandfather was sitting at the table eating carrots. And she went back and wept. But he had bad eyes. I mean, made his eyes look this big around. He walked up to me and looked at me. He said, "Horsefly." He said, "I sure wish you'd get saved." He said, "I've been praying for you." And I'm sitting there in my field thinking, "Well, Pop, there, I got plenty of time. Good grief, I'm just 18 years old. I mean, maybe when I'm 81, Anthony, you know how it is when I'm 81, maybe I might give God what's left, you know, after I've done everything, enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." Sometimes people don't get to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Sometimes, Brother Howard, it's just one thing, and they're out of here. I mean, brother, some people don't make it to that age. My daughter lives 17 one week. I've got a track at home that's got a picture of a young girl on the front of it. She looks about like Megan. I don't know how old Megan is, but this young girl looks about like her. She's 16 years old, and on the front of that track, she says, "I got plenty of time." She died that night. Sometimes it don't go like you think. But sometimes you don't have 81 years to get saved. And I'll tell you what, some people do get saved in the latter year, but it's very rare. But I'm sitting there thinking like a fool, and I'm sitting there thinking, "Pop, Ed, I'm going to get saved. Do I have good intentions?" I don't really think that nobody here. Does anybody here wants to go to hell?
No.
See a show of hands, please. You sure to get it.
No, I don't want to go to hell.
Oh, okay. He misunderstood me. I said, does anybody here wants to go to hell?
No, I thought you did.
No, no. Now, God bless you, Donnie. But only a fool would want to go to hell. And I talked to my brother-in-law one time. And he got to talking like a fool. Of course, I saved. I mean, but I'm telling you right now, if he's around me, I was going to witness to you. I had too much salt, too much zeal, not much knowledge. My brother-in-law come over, and I had him cornered there in the kitchen. And I'm wearing him out. And he just, like a better word, trying to get me off his back. He says, "I want to go to hell." I said, "You don't mind proving that, do you?" He said, "I will. What do I need to do?" I went over and turned my kitchen range on high. And he got good cherry red, Sister Anita. I said, "Just lay your face right there on that bum." He said, "I look like a fool." I said, "You talking like one." I said, "That won't kill you. They just give you a superficial burn, just scar you for life. That won't kill you." And I said, "You said you wanted to go to hell." And all of a sudden, it clicked. He fell to his knees right in front of that stove and called upon God and asked God to save him. You know, sometimes we think about hell like that. It's far off. You know, it's nothing up here. It's way down the road. There's somebody going to hell right now. And they're kicking and screaming. And they're saying, "Somebody help me. If you want to get help, you better get it this side of hell, amen." So I'll tell you right now, there ain't no help in hell. There ain't no hope in hell. There's only hell and the flames of hell, the torments of hell, the damnation of hell. Down there the screams don't never diminish. Down there, brother, the screams of the damned, they just keep getting louder and louder, and hell keeps getting larger and larger to consume those coming to it. And I believe it more than ever, amen.
That's right, amen.
I believe there are more people going to hell today than ever.
Amen.
And I'll tell you right now, that don't mean you can't get saved.
Amen.
God bless you, Brother Donnie. I just didn't understand. And you didn't understand. I'll tell you what, I'm glad he said, no, I don't want to go to hell. Amen.
Amen.
But,
I wouldn't be here.
Let me say, God says, He says, behold, now is the day. That's not talking about tomorrow. That's not talking about yesterday. Tomorrow may not be on your calendar. Yesterday's done gone. You didn't get saved yesterday because you thought you might get saved today. Now, I've never played Russian roulette. But my understanding is you take a revolver, you put one shell in it, and like a fool, you spin it and say, if it goes off, you're a fool. If it don't, you say, whew. You pass it next guy. And I don't know if he spins or just pulls it again. I don't know. But it's one thing to play Russian roulette with a revolver, one bullet in it. But it's another thing to play eternity with a place called hell. And end up there, and your fate is sealed if you end up there. There ain't no parole. There ain't no pardon. I mean, there you're going to be punished. There you're going to get the full reward of your sin. But God said, behold, now is the day of salvation. Let me say, the urgency of the hour is now. It's not, you know, I'll get saved at 1:30 or 12:30 or 11:30. It's now. To the lost, God says now. To the lost, God pleads now. To the lost, God waits, and He waits for you now. He wants you saved. He made heaven for you. We sung no tears in heaven. We sung about heaven. Listen, Jesus said, I go away to prepare a place for you. And heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And if you're not prepared to go to heaven, don't wait for the invitation. Run down here and get ready. Amen. Tell you what, if you miss heaven, not only will you have hell to pay, but you'll be haunted throughout eternity.
Amen.
With a thought, I could have had heaven.
That's right.
I could have got saved.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand why people wait when God says now. Does anybody know now means now? It don't mean in a few minutes. You know, my dad used to say, take that garbage out. Now! And if you didn't run, I mean like a road runner, Wile E. Coyote gave you a little nudge. Are we hitting home with Jesse? You been in that category, brother? You know the word now means now? Not in a few minutes, not till this movie's off, but now? I got some of that too, it's all right. Won't hurt you. Oh yeah, my daddy, when he said now, I started looking for a hole to go through. Door to go through. I mean, buddy, it was now. God says now is the day of salvation. Now listen, if you lost this morning, He loves you. He made your way. He paid your way so you could get saved. Like I said in a Sunday school lesson this morning, I'll reiterate for those who weren't in here. People say all the time they don't believe there's a hell. Take a look at Calvary. Just look at what Jesus went through at the crucifixion. Then tell me there ain't no hell. You know why? That He tasted death for every man because He wanted every man to be saved. You know why He allows people to spit in His face and pluck the hair in His face? When I first come up here, I had a little scrawny beard. Margaret done told me she was going to pluck it out, but I didn't shave it off. So I took the right thing and shaved it off, gave it to her. Said, here you go, you're going to pluck it off. I'm kind of glad I did. Thank you for that admonishment, Sister Margaret. It's kind of awful sitting there and fooling that thing, trying to get it looking like something. It's a mess anyway. Mine had gone through the season. It was done gray and white and everything else. And, you know, get the itching and everything. But anyway, you know, they plucked the hair from His face. The Bible said He gave His cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. And the Bible said His vestige was marred more than any man. And I want you to know, they bruised His face. They spit in His face. They beat Him on the head with reeds. And they put a crown of thorns upon His head. You ever seen that movie? The Passion of Christ by Mel Gibson. They took a board and they just shoved it down in there. And I believe that's not even just what they did to Him. Tell you right now, they wanted it to hurt.
Yeah.
Then they laid them stripes upon His back. And I got new revelation on this. I'm not as smart If you ever thought I was smart, let me just correct myself, you too. I'm not that smart. But I heard a preacher that was smart preach the other day. And he said they didn't beat him with the Jewish 39 save one, or 40 save one, which is 39 tribes. But they beat him with a Roman beating, and that was as many as he could stand. They tried to kill him, Brother William. But I want you to know, he said, no man takes my life. I lay it down. They tried to kill him. They was having fun beating the body of the blessed Savior. And then they nailed him to a cross. Laughed at him. You look at all of that. You try to tell me there ain't no hell, Sister Molly. He went through hell just to keep people from going there. He made the only bridge there is to heaven. You forget about that bunch that says there's another way. You forget about that. The Bible says, Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way. John 10, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Acts 4:12, no other name given in heaven whereby we must be saved. But the urgency of the hour is God is calling. The urgency of the hour, God is pleading. Urgency of the hour, God is waiting, and He's waiting on you. And I want you to know you'll have no excuse. But not only the urgency of the hour, the plan's simple. It's simple. I mean, we saw these little boys, these little girls, even someone as young as Chelsea. You saw the simplicity. The Bible said many have done harm to the simplicity of Christ. You said the common salvation. You don't have to have a doctor's degree to be saved.
Amen.
I'm glad God put it within reach for the hired. Then he said a little child could receive it. And we saw little Haley, her tear stains are still right here.
Yeah.
Right there they are. You can see them right here.
Yeah.
Tear stains. I said, what you doing, honey? She said, I'm praying to get saved. I said, you keep praying, honey. You know what? She didn't just get saved. She went home and witnessed her family and testified to all that would listen about the fact she got saved. But God put it within reach. The plan's simple. God gave His Son for you to be saved. God wants you to be saved. God who will have all men to be saved, 1 Timothy 2:4. God who is long-suffering to you, not willing that you should perish, is waiting on you. The plan is simple. Come and get saved. Amen.
Right, amen.
It's time to get saved. Tell you what, boy. Forget about the big revivals. Forget about the big name preachers. Forget about all of that. Forget about the right invitation of Him. Why will you not come? What are you waiting on? Some of you, your family's saved. They're waiting on you to get saved. They're praying for you to get saved. What are you waiting on? Oh, listen, the plan's simple. The urgency of the hour. But let me ask you this, and please listen to this question. How long do you think you got? I ask people that lots of times. They say, well, I'm going to get saved. I said, is that right? I said, how long you got? Well, I don't know. I said, that sounds to me like, you know, you might not have as long as you think. Nigga, if I can, well, you might be right. I said, that would incline me to get saved. Because if you don't have the promise of tomorrow, unless you are saved, and you're willing to take a chance, then not die in your sleep and wake up a corpse, then I'll tell you what, you're taking a chance with eternity. We just don't know how long we got. I know how long I've got, Sister Carolyn. I've got eternity. Thanks to Calvary, the blood of Jesus, been born again. Being a son of God. I'm telling you right now, He conquered death for my sake. Gave me eternal life. And it was His love that done it. He loved me. Gave Himself for me. The gift of God He bestowed upon me. I didn't deserve, but I obtained by the grace and mercy of God. Amen.
Amen.
I'll tell you right now, I wasn't ashamed, Brother Melvin, to bow down. I couldn't wait for Sunday.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, when I was convinced of the fact this old boy was lost going to hell, but how the pains of like a woman with a child come upon me. I got prevailed in my soul, and the pains of hell got a hold of me. And if I could have waited a Sunday, I don't know if I'd have made it or not, but I would have tried. I couldn't wait. I went home. I fell down my bedside, and I called upon Him that's rich in mercy. Go on and call upon Him, and I found Him ready. I found Him able to save a sinner in any way, glory to God. You right now, there ain't no problem on His end. Oh, He's looking. Looking for you to come. You have no promise of tomorrow unless you're saved. The Bible said in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 14, He says, you know not what shall be on tomorrow. God said to that man, Luke chapter 12, verse 20, the Bible said His cross brought forth plenty. He said, this I'll do. I'll say, so my husband's good, been up for many years. I'll tear down my barn, build a bigger barn. God said that night,
Amen.
He said, thou fool.
Yes.
Now call him by his name, Sister Molly. He said, thou fool. This night, my soul should be required of thee. I'm just going to guess, Brother Howard, if that man knew that night he was going to die, he'd forget about the crop, the barn. He said, I need to save so I can enjoy this blessing. You know, a lot of people make a lot of choices. There's only one good choice. That's choose Jesus. You know, Moses said, choose life. He said, I set before ye death and life, choose life. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. That's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But I'll tell you what, God called that man a fool. And he said he was a fool because he said, this night thy soul should be required of thee. Tell you what, this little boy, my wife, she's all the time getting on me, Sister Carolyn. She said, I wish I could sleep like you do. I said, just get right with God, honey, it's a package deal. I can sleep standing up. I can sleep with my eyes open. I sleep driving down the road till I hear the gravel flying or I see the bridge above me in the center of the hood. But I sleep a lot. And I'll tell you why I sleep, because I ain't threatening a man with heaven. Glory to God, I'm as good as that right now. Brother William, my citizenship's in heaven. I'm already seated together in heavenly place in Christ Jesus. Where he is where I'm going to be. I'm part of the body of Christ. I'm part of the church of the firstborn. They're called that assembly. I'm one of the bunch that's going to leave out. I'm talking about let Israel take our land. Let our land find Israel. Let them worry about China. Let them worry about Russia. I say, glory to God, it's well my soul. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! Amen. You think we're in a funeral home or something? Glory to God. Hallelujah, Sister Kelly.
Amen.
Amen. It's time to get saved. Not only how long do you think you have, but what are you waiting on?
That's right.
God's giving you a personal invitation.
Right.
You know, you read that parable. Say the king made a feast. Sent out an invitation.
Amen.
Come.
Yeah.
One said, hey, I come. I bought a piece of land. I got to go look at it. Another said, I bought the yoke of oxen. I got to go prove them. But Elijah said, I've taken a wife. Therefore, I can't come. I'll get you, but you bought your wife. You didn't even hire. What is it about your wife? You brought your wife, you didn't bring Bobby. Well, ma'am, you bring your wife with you. Amen. Don, did you bring dad with you?
Yeah.
And did you bring Melissa? Ain't no wrong bringing a wife. But he said, I'm taking a wife. He said, I'm taking a wife, and that boy can't come. Somebody better explain that to me. That just don't add up in the way I look at it. But you know what? People will give God an excuse. And he's giving you an invitation. Not only is he giving an invitation, but also he's waiting on you to take advantage of that invitation. He said he gave Jezebel space to repent. That means he gave her opportunity to receive forgiveness and to get saved. And the Bible says today, listen real good, today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, not tomorrow, but today. I'm telling you, what are you waiting on? How long do you think you have? The urgency of the hours upon you. And I'm telling you today, if you don't get saved, you're going to have hell to pay.
That's right.
Let me say this, and I'll try to shut up. Why aren't you coming? You know, you've heard this message. You've heard that message. You've had people praying fast, standing in the gap for you, making intercession for you. Oh, yeah, you got good intentions for you. One of these days, I told you, Brother Eddie. One of these days, Brother Eddie. You know what? I had that happen, Sister Mita. He did come. Everybody's talking right in here. We're sitting right there. And we come up there and look at the aftermath. But did come, Park. He said, I was surprised. I'll come one day. He just didn't come like he thought he should come. He came in by other means for you. He was in the coffin. And it pushed him up there and turned it sideways and opened up the lid so we could see the aftermath of waiting too long. He finally did come to Olivia. Just didn't come like he thought he was going to come. Oh, what a sad funeral that was. Sad commentary. Come now, God says, Isaiah 1:18. Come unto me, Jesus says, Matthew 11:28. He said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, I stand at the door. That's him. That's not Brother Eddie. That's not Cornerstone. He said, I knock. You know why he's knocking? Because he loves you. Wants to help you. Wants to save you. He's come to the door of your heart. And he said, I stand at the door. And I knock. He said, if any man hear my voice, listen and open the door, I will come into him. And will sup with him. Amen. And he with me.
Amen.
That may be the last thing you hear. He said, I stand at the door and I knock. He said, if any man hear my voice, open the door. We'll come into him.
Amen.
We'll sup with him. I've been supping with him pretty good while. Sister Molly, he's been supping with me. I got up early this morning, Sister Carolyn. I supped with him and he with me.
Amen.
We're going to give an invitation. You listen. You heard it's the hour. It's time to get saved. Plain and simple. How long do you think you got? What are you waiting on? Why aren't you coming? He's knocking. All you got to do is open the door. You know, if he, greater than all, second to none, come and knocks upon your door. Said, please let me in. Please let me help you. Please let me save you. All you got to do is open the door. I'm standing at the door. I'm knocking. I'm wanting in. You need to let me in, because he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son has not life. Father God, we thank you for this message. Lord, I've never felt more led of God to preach a message than this one right here. I pray, dear Lord, that you'll honor the fact I've done the best I could. Help us in this invitation, I pray. Lord, I pray you convince those that are lost this morning not to wait any longer than right now to get saved. May the fear of God fall upon this place. May the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, I pray. Like Nathaniel said, I gotta have a refuge. I got to get saved. Help us in this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand.
222.
Listen, why aren't you coming? You ought already be breaking out. Get somebody by the hand. Go with me. I need to go. I can't wait no longer. God, give me the message I need. I'll tell you right now. Whew, it's time to get saved. You look at the events on this world. Look, just look at what's happened to America. Look at the Twin Towers falling. Look at the Katrinas, the Andrews, and the Wilmas. All that right there surrounding on the world. It's time to get saved. Look at the condition of the church. Look at the hypocrisy of the preachers. It's time to get saved.
There's a great day.
Great day coming. Won't you come? I'll come back here to you and raise your hand. Won't you come? Just break loose from the yoke of bondage. Break loose and come. Come now. God said, I'm knocking. Open the door. Come to me, I'll save you. He said, him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise turn him away. Oh, listen. These little children have been showing us how simple it is. They just come like a little child and say, Brother Andy, I want to get saved. I said, tell Jesus what you just told me. Won't you come? Come. Whew. It's time to get saved. I believe we've got people that want to get saved. But you got to want something enough to come, to act on it. Jesus said, come. Come to me. He is the Savior. He will save to the uttermost. Won't you come? It's the second month of February. That's the verse in the book of Zechariah. It talks about the coming of the Lord. And it says in the summer and in the winter it'll be. This is February. And I want you to know the trees are budding, the grass is growing. And it speaks so loudly that verse says, this is the year you better get saved. And you better get saved now. Amen. One verse. God bless you, Sister Molly. I'll tell you what this sister right here is doing. I commend her highly. She's showing you how easy it is to come. And also, she's showing she cares about you. She's down there praying for you to come to break loose from the hand of Satan and take the nail-scarred hand of Jesus. God bless y'all for coming. His others come and listen. They're setting an example for you. Why don't you come this morning on this February the 6th, 2012? For all I know, may be the last opportunity for some here this morning. I don't know. I'm not trying to gloom and doom. I'm just telling you right now, it's time to get saved. Amen. Won't you come? Whew. Won't you come? Get somebody by the hand. Say, go with me. That man in Acts chapter number 8. Philip said, understand what thou readest. He said, how can I except some man guide me? Sometimes you need some help. And I'll tell you right now, we got plenty of help. We got saved men and women in here who know the Lord. They know the worth of prayer. Sister Molly, Sister Carolyn, Sister Gail, they're up here praying. They're right now calling upon heaven's mercies for you. And I'll tell you right now, if you go to hell after service like this, you deserve it. And I'll tell you right now, buddy, it's going to be awful down there, the agony of that awful place. Oh, may won't you come this morning? The gracious God of heaven says, I stand at the door and knock. He said, open that door, let me in. Let me fix it. Let me help you. Let me save you. Let me go home with you. Listen, I remember what I said the day I got saved. I said, why did I wait so long for something this wonderful? But you know what? I'm saved. That hour's passed. But some of you are holding out. And you've never tasted and seen that the Lord is good. You've never called upon Him and found out the grace and mercy. And I'm telling you, the love of God, it'll just come in like a mighty rushing wind and feel that emptiness inside you. I've tried the things of this world, and listen, I've tried them all, and they may have brought some little bit of satisfaction, but it was short-lived. But the day I got saved, I was satisfied. I'm telling you, I've been satisfied for 23 years. I've been satisfied. I'm not looking for nothing else. I done found that pearl of great price, square but left. We'll see one more invitation of Him. This is God's long suffering to you. God says, come. He says, come. Come now. Come. Away from God. Now I'm. Why are you coming? God's inviting. God's calling. Won't you come? Break loose. Run down here. I'll tell you right now, Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. If you want to be saved, why don't you call? Why don't you call? Now call upon Him. Listen, it's a hit and miss. You can keep coming. What bothers me is you're not coming. I don't mind the fact you come and you ain't getting saved. What bothers me is you're not coming. And I'm telling you, putting your soul in jeopardy and the grace of God that's been manifested in this service. You're to come. Come now. God said, come now. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them as wool. God said, come now. I'll fix you if you'll come. Jesus told Jerusalem, you would not. He said you would not. God bless you, Sister Molly. Had enough. Won't you come? I'm fixing this Bible up. A lot of people. It's like a ship right here. The words of life. All these words right here. Words of life. These are words that if men receive them, I'll tell you what, to give them life. But if you reject them, Jesus said, if you fall on His word, you'll live. But if this word falls on you, He said it'll grind you to powder. Time to get saved. Time, come on! Come on now! Stand up, get somebody by the hand and say, I got to go. I need someone to go with me, someone to pray with me, and come up here and show God you're concerned about your soul. Are you coming? He says, come. Come. God bless you, Brother Mel.